Jeremiah Parker. He pastors Welcome Baptist Church over in Catawba County. He's going to come around and preach for us 15 minutes. And you open up your heart. By the way, don't you sit there and look at them like a calf at a new gate. You help them while they preach. Say amen every once in a while. Wave your hand at them. You'll listen better and they'll preach better. Amen. Brother Jeremiah, bless your heart, son.
Am I good? All right. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. While you're turning, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you,
God,
for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for the camp meeting. I thank you for it being able to go on this year. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Father, I've studied. Lord, I pray that you'd help me remember what I've studied. Father, I pray that you'd help me with my words, not to stumble over them, Lord, that they would hear it clearly. Lord, that understanding would be given. Lord, only you can do these things. Father, I pray that you would help me not to think myself something, Lord, when I'm nothing. God, I pray that you would drive out all of pride in this place today. And Lord, I pray that you would humble mankind. God, you would exalt yourself through the preaching of your word. Father, I pray that you would be with these, be with the rest of the preachers. I thank you for what I heard last night, what I heard already today. Thank you for the singing. And God, I pray that you'd help me. And Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of any sin in my life. Lord, anything I'm not aware of, Lord, I beg you, forgive me before I try to preach to your people. Feed your sheep, Lord. Give them understanding. Lord, establish them in truth. Father, if there is one that does not know you, I pray that you'd have mercy upon them. Have your way this day, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, one verse, verse 22. It says this, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Amen. In Christ shall all be made alive. I want to preach to you for just a moment the hope of mankind. The hope of mankind. When I say the word hope, I do not say it in the way we commonly use it. I hope it doesn't rain today. We'll say things like that. Or I hope everyone's able to make it to the Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not using it that way. I say it in the sense of our confidence in a future event. And that is how I use the word hope today, especially in the title, The Hope of Mankind. Notice with me the hope of mankind as seen in the text from 1 Corinthians 15, 22. You see first the hope of being in Adam, the confidence of a future event of being in Adam. We see in the first half of the verse the sober truth of the hope we have of being in Adam. We die. There's nothing else in there in that verse about it. We die. In Adam, we all die. Church, the wealthy will die. The beggar will die. The prince and the pauper, they'll both die. The preacher and those in the pews will die. Hebrews 9:27 tells us it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. In Adam, all die. Important events or planned gatherings or special days. Well, we've got camp meeting this week. We've got things to do in the future. I'm preaching a service here. I'm going to do this. We have family gatherings. Those things do not prevent death whatsoever. The verse does not say in Adam all but the busy people die. No, it says all die. In Adam all die. Folks, my parents buried an 18-month-old daughter that I never met. Some of you may have been through something similar such as that. The verse does not say in Adam all of a good old age die, but it says in Adam all die. Make plans. Avoid the plans you want to. Climb the ladder of success if you want to. Working all the time. Work all you can. Avoid working. Become the exemplary member of society or be the one that everybody whispers about and wags their head out when you walk in the door. It matters not. In Adam, all die. It matters not how successful one is or if they're the drunk on the street. None of that matters. In Adam, they all die. Every single one of them. We die because the wages of sin is death. That is why we die. We have an inherited sin nature of our first father, Adam. Not only do we have this sin nature by no choice of our own, but we actively choose to sin. It's not like my 14-year-old is a sinner because she chose to sin, or my 10-year-old, but my 3-year-old's not. Oh, no. They're all sinners. They've all come short. The wages of that sin is death. Sinners produce sinners. That's all we do. Job says it well. Can an unclean thing bring out something clean? How it says it in the book of Job, no one can do that. But the verse does not stop there. Friend, this is the certain future event of being an Adam. But that's not the worst part. In Adam, we all die physically, but in Adam, we are dead spiritually.
Yes, sir.
And if that is not changed, we'll be separated from all of God except His wrath for all eternity. And that is what the rich man that lifted his eyes in hell faced when he was there. That wrath of God forevermore. The eternal abode of man in his natural state is a place of weeping, of torments, and gnashing of teeth. But as I said, I thank the Lord it doesn't stop there in the verse. How sad it would be if 1 Corinthians 15:22 just said, "For as in Adam, I'll die." And that was it. But it goes further and says, "Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, secondly, the hope of being in Christ. It is a present hope. It says, in Christ. In Christ. What is it to be in Christ? You know it. Some of you pastors, you attend church regularly, you Christians, you know what it is to be in Christ. In Acts 9, this helps us explain a little bit. Saul, you know the text very well. He's breathing out threatenings and persecuting the church and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. But the Bible tells us in Acts 9, verse 4, the Lord said unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul was going out and persecuting disciples and those of that way. Yet Christ said, "You're persecuting me." He said, "Those that you're persecuting, that's me that you're persecuting." That is what the Lord said to him. He was persecuting those disciples and those of that way. But he said, "Why persecutest thou me?" One is in Christ who has been claimed by Christ. That is what it is to be in Christ, that you've been claimed by Him. It is not that those in Christ claim Him, because there's a lot of people that do that are not in Christ. There's a whole lot. You go to the gas station today and you try to share the gospel with someone, they'll tell you they're a Christian, but their lives certainly do not line up with biblical salvation. There are plenty that say they love the Lord, but they do not keep His commandments. They are not in Christ. May I remind you, many will claim that. Matthew 7:22, verse 23 as well says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Verse 23 says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I've got brothers and sisters that profess to be in Christ, but they're not. Maybe they'll say, "But my brother was a preacher. Didn't I go to church? Didn't I do these things?" And he'll say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." There's plenty claiming Him today, but has He claimed them? As you sit here this morning, has He claimed you? Do you know for sure that He's claimed you and you're not just claiming Him? Ladies and gentlemen, is that your present hope? Is it in Christ? Is that what you have? Or are you in Him? Or are you confident that He's claimed you? But not only is it a present hope, I'm grateful it's a future hope. Amen. Those in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise God for the present hope that we have. I'm thankful for that hope. But what a joy we have in the future hope of the resurrection. Within 100 years, give or take a few years, everybody in this place will have experienced what it is physically to be an Adam. In just 100 short years, some a little bit more maybe, some a little bit less, but you'll experience that. We'll attend funeral after funeral after funeral of loved ones, of friends and family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be comforted with these words. "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But don't miss this in the verse. The future hope is only for those in Christ. In Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you want the future hope, you've got to have the present hope. You've got to have the present hope if you want the future hope. Lastly, let me give you this. How to have the hope of being in Christ. We saw the hope of being in Adam. And we see the hope of being in Christ. Adam, it's death. Always has been, always will be. Christ, it's life. Life eternal, life abundant. Praise the Lord for that. But you see, lastly, let me give you this, how to have the hope of being in Christ. The middle of the verse says these words, even so. It means something similar to likewise, or also. Our being born in this world places us in Christ. Even so, our being born again, or places us in Adam. Even so, our being born again places us in Christ. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. The leper can't change his spots. The zebra can't change his stripes. And neither can we change ourselves. We're born wretched, depraved, separated from God Almighty. That is what we are without him and his mercy and his grace that the family was singing about last night. Surely goodness and mercy. I thank the Lord for that. In John 3, Jesus explained to Nicodemus that being born again is the work of the Spirit in the heart of the person who he has given faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lost sinner, desiring a better hope than what you have in Adam, has the Spirit of God done, as Ezekiel 16:6 says, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Can you remember the day when the sweet Holy Ghost came by your way? He was in Adam. He was wallowing in your sin like a pig in the muck and mire, enjoying it, wanting nothing to do with God Almighty. You say, I wasn't a drunk. I wasn't a drug addict. Oh, you was wallowing in your morality, thinking you were fine without God Almighty, thinking you were an upstanding person and that you'd make it if anybody else made it. Oh, but he passed by your way, and he saw you, and you saw yourself wallowing. You saw yourself polluted in your own sin nature, in your own wretchedness, and he said, live. Those three words, as Brother Steve said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, one word in Ezekiel, live. It came by your way, and it came by my way, and he said, live. Lost sinner, if you desire a better hope than what you have in Adam, the Lord's given you that desire. He speaks that to your life to live. I can't speak anything into existence. You can't either. But oh God Almighty, he can tell the dead bones to rise. He can tell the dead person to live. That dead, we inside in trespasses and sins, he tells them to live. You may have falsely claimed Christ for many years, but has today he claimed you? Has he grasped every bit of your attention at this very moment? He's put aside everybody saying amen. He's put aside the place that you're at. And all he's done is drawn your attention to the cross of Calvary and the blood that he shed to save his people from his sins. Would you not believe in him? Would you not repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today? I appreciate you, church.